And here's Darwin's door. It's the same door. It hasn't changed. It's a 16th century door. And above it, we've repainted C. Darwin.
It's very battered. It's blue, very solid, with a letterbox.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Actually, that's a bit grand, isn't it? It's a slot.
It is
for
a
mail.
Slot.
Cut in the wood.
I don't know if those were still in use in Darwin's day, because they had a college servant called a gyp who would take letters from the student to the porter's lodge and back again if they received them. And then the porters would then take them to the post office.
Wow, what a service.
They had quite good service.
Oh, didn't they just?
We'll see more inside. More inside. So here we are in Charles Darwin's rooms. Up until a few weeks ago, this was just a brown, bare wood panelled room. But we've had the panelling examined, and it's possible to see that there were various layers of colours. And we found that this sort of earthy green was the colour in Darwin's day. So special conservatives have fully restored the panelling to its original green with the beautifully coloured frieze along the top near the ceiling. And the most surprising discovery is over here. During the restoration, Joe Poole was examining the window seat cushions in the bay windows. There are two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And inside, it was like a geological discovery. There was layer after layer after layer of seat covers. And the very lowest one has been dated to be right for Darwin's time in Cambridge. It's a blue and beige cotton print, and we've used it as the basis of a new cotton fabric we've had reprinted, an exact copy, and we've used that to have these curtains remade in exactly the style that would have been here when Darwin was a student.
So this cushion that is here, which is fairly stained and torn and battered, is possibly the one that Charles Darwin actually sat on.
Yes, and a few generations of students after him.
And put his feet on.
Yes, and probably has some wine stains on it. Now, over here, we have a double-barreled percussion shotgun.
Not what you quite expect in a student room.
Not anymore, but in Darwin's day it was quite the thing. That was what he spent a lot of his time doing. He was out shooting birds in the fens. When he wasn't able to go out, he would practice in the room. He would practice in front of the mirror there and to see that he threw the gun up straight. He recalled in his autobiography a much more fun game than that was to have a friend move a lighted candle around, and he would put a percussion cap on the nipple of the shotgun. And then he would aim at the candle, and if his aim was correct, the puff of air that came out would blow out the candle. And this was a great game, and he seems to have done it for hours and hours. In fact, through the grapevine he heard that the college tutor said, "What a strange thing it is that Mr. Darwin seems to spend hours cracking a horsewhip in his rooms."
So it sounds like he had quite a lot of fun. Did he actually get any work done in here, do you think?
He probably did just enough to get by, yes. He had to read classics and maths, basically. And we've recently discovered some examination papers that Darwin actually sat in college lectures. That's different from the two university examinations he had to pass in order to get his BA.
So we have evidence of his work while he was here.
Well, you can see the questions that he had. We don't see what answers he wrote.
See me written on the end.
And perhaps the most precious thing that we have in the rooms is this beetle collecting cabinet. This mahogany cabinet belongs to a descendant of Darwin, Milo Keynes, who lives in Cambridge, and it very closely resembles a description by Darwin of a cabinet he had made to house his collection when he lived in these rooms. So if it really is Darwin's cabinet, it's returned home for the first time in 178 years. Inside the drawers, they've been relined with paper, but underneath them is an original cork layer for sticking insect pins in. And in one drawer, in a corner where the paper is torn away, there are two minute insect pins still stuck in the cork and sort of bent over. There's no doubt that it is an insect collecting cabinet.
Right.
And so we've put a collection of beetles in it too.
Would he have had to have that made, or would they have been the sort of thing you could just buy off the shelf?
No, this is something that he had to have specially made. Yeah. No, that sort of thing wasn't yet readily available. It was a very much do-it-yourself science at that stage of things. But that's how Darwin gets started as a naturalist, collecting. Going out and collecting, he brings them back. He doesn't do that much with them. He compares them to some of the standard reference books of the days. He gets them named, and he keeps a couple of tentative lists, but he basically gives up on that. But he is slowly becoming an all-rounder. And that's why when the offer for the naturalist on the voyage of the Beagle comes to Cambridge to find a naturalist, Darwin's connections recommend him. Because he has impressed them as an extremely intelligent and competent young man who would do a good job in and they were right.